we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. One more time, my name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to WMIE 91.5 FM here in Cocoa, Florida, where we have been talking about for some time the various progressive progression in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we're talking about right now is the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And now we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is long-suffering or patience. And hallelujah, isn't that just wonderful that it is so easy to do? Two prayers that I think are very, very challenging to pray is, Lord, make us holy. The second is, Lord, make us patient. And so if it was easy, anybody could do it. If it was easy, we wouldn't have to be reminded about it time and time and time again. And so I hope that this series that we are doing on the fruit of the Spirit is patience, is being of some blessing to you, and that it will manifest in your life and people will be able to be inspired by your patience. That was what we were talking about on yesterday's program out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, that Paul said that he remembered the people of Thessalonica for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. What if your patience was inspiring to someone else? Would it be worth it at that point in time? Patience is not just patience for its own sake, but it is patience because of the confident expectation that we have that our God is faithful to not only begin the process, but to complete the process and be Lord over the process every step of the way. And so I pray today that the fruit of the Spirit in your life will become inspiration to others around you. And remember, you are an ambassador of Christ in a fallen world. That it is a world that is living beneath the plan that God has. It is a world that has rejected the truth of God's word. It has rejected the wisdom of God's word. It has embraced other mindsets. So you and I are getting to operate according to God's strength and might and God, representing God's character, operating with God's character in a hostile environment. So it has got to be the fruit of the Spirit. It is not just holding on and waiting until the storm passes. It's not just a hunkering down mentality. It is a very active mindset that I will patiently and constantly endure this process with joy. I will be proactive in my patience until God comes and fulfills his responsibility. So, or what he has promised. Now, I want to take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to move through these. We're not going to be spending a lot of time on extended passages of Scripture here, but it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." So, let's look at this. "Now we exhort you, brethren." There's two things that I want you to see in that passage, and that is that, first of all, this is for people who have a sibling relationship in Christ. This is for people who share the same Heavenly Father, and it is admonished to us that we operate this way towards one another. There's a reason for that, and so you've got to. There are things that take place inside a family dynamic that you might not necessarily operate with outside of a family dynamic. Like, I can go up and give my brother a hug, my biological brother, I can go up and give him a hug, and he will hug me back and tell me he loves me back just the same way as I told him that I love him, and that is perfectly acceptable. I can go up and give my sister a hug, and I can give my sister a greeting and say, hey, I love you. I just did both of those things while I was away helping my parents. But if I, as a pastor, just went up to a stranger on the street and began to just go up and give a person a hug and tell them that I love them, that's going to be received entirely differently. All of a sudden, you know, I could be accused of doing things because it's not a family relationship that, you know, are perfectly acceptable in my family. So you have to look at the scriptures, and this is not just biological brothers. This is people who are sharing the same Heavenly Father that we do, and that we have this relationship, that we understand that we have one part in the body and the other person has another part in the body. And so it says, now we exhort you. That is a word that means to teach. Exhortation is not a bad thing. It is something that is supposed to go on. Disciples are supposed to be learners. And I'm sure that if you evaluate your scholastic career from kindergarten to your senior year in high school or college, that you would think of some people who you thought of as wonderful teachers, your favorite teachers. Some others were forgettable. Some others were memorable because they weren't quite so good. I think of high school where I had math back to back. You know, if I needed a boost in my GPA, I took a math class when I was in college. It was just something that kind of came naturally to me. It made sense. I like it when things work out together for a concrete goal. In my 10th grade year, I had a math teacher who was absolutely one of my favorite teachers. And she taught me, she corrected me. The second year that I was there, my 11th grade year, I had a math teacher who had written the textbook. Now that means there's some significant brain power going on in that head, but he was not all of that phenomenal of a teacher. And in fact, I couldn't stand the class. I was supposed to have had that class before I took the other class, and I got an A in the class that I missed the prerequisite for somehow. Don't ask me how. I wasn't in charge of the scheduling, but that was the reality of what it was. So the one teacher was my favorite. The other was not so much my favorite. We have developed into such a fragile mindset in America right now that we can't stand for anybody to teach us anything. And so the Bible says in the last days, people would surround themselves with teachers who would scratch their itching ears, if you will. They only wanted to hear the things that they wanted to hear. Like, that's absolutely right. Well, you know what? In spite of my best efforts, I have not always been right. I don't like being wrong. It's happened way more than what I care to admit. And so there is no sense in me trying to operate it with a sense of delusion. It just would be stupid. that I, you know, where I would try and deceive myself to think that I'm absolutely perfect. I'm still looking to surround myself with people who know more than what I know. And so I pray that you are. When you go to church, I hope that you are just as comfortable with God correcting you as you are with him encouraging you. Because he's looking, I am one that embraces that because I want to be the best representative for God that I can be. So it says, warn those who are unruly, okay? So as you're dealing inside the body of Christ, here's the thing. The church is not filled with a bunch of hypocrites. The church is filled, I'm not just talking about Merit Assembly of God here, I'm talking about the church as a whole. The church is filled with people who are in different levels, different stages of their development in the kingdom of God. Some have been saved for decades, others have been saved for minutes. And so you and I, we wouldn't expect kids in kindergarten to behave the same way as adults do. That would be absurd. Okay? You've got to allow kids time to be kids, and you've got to allow teenagers time to be teenagers, and you've got to allow adults to be adults. We have too many adults in America right now that are behaving like kids, and I'm going to leave that there. So it says that inside this family, there may be people who are unruly. That means that they are operating beyond the rules. You know, I hear artists all the time that they're trying to stretch the boundaries, and there are people who, you know, embrace rebellion and all that. And we're really, that's not kingdom. I'm all for growing. I am all for artistic expression, but I am even more in support of operating within the parameters of God's guidelines, God's requirements, God's commandments for us to live by. It's a comfort. It's a wonderful place. And so you don't tolerate rebellion. You do not tolerate chaos. You warn those who are unruly because there are consequences. Okay? You also comfort the faint-hearted. So you've got people who go through difficult times. You know, I tell you many times about my experiences, and they're not always perfect. There are times that people do not disclose all of the various things that they are going through. And you need to operate with an understanding where you comfort those whose hearts have been attacked, if you will, faint-hearted. You comfort them. There's a time where the body of Christ should be the most comforting place, but it can only take place if we understand what a person is going through. And too many times people are living insulated and isolated and protected lives so that nobody outside of them really knows what is going on. You can see this in the scripture with Eli, the prophet, in 1 Samuel chapter 1 when he encounters Hannah. He encounters Hannah, and she is acting like a drunk woman, and he begins to say, you know, you really need to abandon that because that's not the way that you should be conducting yourself. And she's, oh, no, please don't take me for a wicked woman. You know, I'm here out of sorrow of heart, and, you know, I've got a need, and I'm looking for God. And so once Eli is made aware of the situation, he is able to pray a blessing over Hannah that results in Samuel being born, who ended up being a judge that helped to rule Israel until the time of King Saul. So we need to be able to identify. Now please take this very cautiously. You need to identify people who you can trust with the information that you're going through, because some people will take that information and they will make it a matter of prayer. Some people will take things that you disclose to them and they will make it their job to be a publicist, and they will publicize it all over the place. And then there are other people who will take knowledge about your frailties and your weaknesses and your faint-heartedness, and they will use it as a weapon against you. So be careful how you do that, but find someone that you can be real with. Okay? Probably the greatest compliment that I get is when people say that I'm real, because I don't want to put on false airs or try and be something that I'm not. I want to be very real with people. So comfort those who are faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. So we need to be there to strengthen and uphold everybody. So now that brings us to the end of verse 14, which is where we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit here. But it also launches into the beginning of a connection over verse 14 and verse 15, that has to do with how we are supposed to treat everybody. Okay? You ready for this? This should be a piece of cake for us, okay? Absolutely no challenge here whatsoever. Sarcasm dripping and intended. Be patient with all. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that this is an admonition, an exhortation to the body of Christ. It's an exhortation to the church. That doesn't mean that you are going to be able to experience this in the world, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. If the world does not have a connection with the Holy Spirit, then at best is you're going to see a limited expression of patience. And that's really more of a surprise than it is an expectation. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit operating in the church, operating in the kingdom of God, and that says that we are supposed to be patient with everybody. We constantly express patience and endurance with joy. That's what it means, with everybody. Okay? Now, I realize that there are people who operate in different cultures. I happened to spend 11 years of my working life in the service industry as far as retail. I was in retail. In retail, you are not allowed, it is not acceptable for you to come in with a predisposition towards a person and just, you know, blast their ears off. You do not treat the next customer the way that you really wish that you were able to treat the last customer. Every customer that comes in the door is to be treated with respect. And so there are certain wisdom that I learned to operate with. And so when there was a child that came in whose shoes had not been changed in way too long, you treat them as if they were a millionaire that just walked in the store. There were people who came in, and every one of them, I used to work in a full service shoe store, and so you treated them with respect, you treated them with the best patience that you could. You had to be patient with everybody. That's not always easy, because people are not always nice. Be patient with all. Okay? Second challenge. See that no one in the body of Christ, I just want to put that phrase in there, see that none of the brethren, no one renders evil to evil or evil for evil to anybody. Okay? The reality is, sooner or later, someone is not going to treat you the way that you want to be treated, and you just can't go around repaying evil for evil. This is more than an admonition from the Apostle Paul. It is something that God commands in his word, because it says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." And so the truth of the matter that we live in a fallen world is very much true. But you and I are not in the revenge business. We are in the gospel business. We are in the forgiving business. We are in the business of turning the other cheek. We are in the business. Now I want you to understand that if someone has demonstrated evil, if that positions them not for an evil act being placed upon them, but it does position them for a place where they can be exhorted, where you can identify whether they are going through a difficult season, because what you will find many times is that a wounded person often lashes out at other people. And one of the things that I have seen through years of ministry is that wounded people will often lash out at a person that they know is going to demonstrate patience and long-suffering towards them, because they have a very safe place. They know that that person has a healer, and that it's just, now, I'm not condoning that and saying that's the way it should be. We need to treat people with love and respect. But many times there is a venting process, an outlet process. And please, let's not, well, you punched me in the face, so I'm going to punch you in the face. Let's not devour one another, as the scripture says. But instead, I want you to do this. I want you to remember what God has done for you. Now, there was something several years ago where I was discussing something with another pastor, and you know, it was just a conversation between him and his wife and myself. We were at a large gathering, and I didn't really think too much about the conversation. And they asked me a question. I answered the question, and I went back to my seat. And when I got back to my seat, God said, "How dare you?" And I said, "How dare I what?" He said, you just sowed seeds of discord between that pastor and another person. I said, "Well, I didn't want to do that." He said, "I need you to get up right now. I need you to go over to that person, repent and apologize of that." And so I did. By then, the church service had already started. And he said, oh, brother, don't worry about that. That's no big deal. And I was like, no, it was a big deal to God. It was a big deal to God. And so I've had people who came to me and apologized for things. And the thing that I wanted to cry out was, oh, don't worry about that, brother. It was no big deal. But I realized that I can't undermine what God was doing in their heart when God said, you know what, I need you to go and apologize to that person and repent. I need to realize that it is, while it's something that I forgave, they very much needed to do that because God was asking them to do that. And so do not render evil to evil to anybody, but be patient with everybody. And last of all, it says, always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. What would our churches look like if, when people came in the door, they found that people were going to be constantly, patiently enduring with joy all of the various challenges of life, that we were forbearing one another and we were long-suffering to one another, and that we were not trying to get vengeance upon every evil act that had come our way, but instead we were demonstrating great patience and exhortation and comforting the hurting and holding up the weak. What would it look like if everybody in the church was pursuing what is good both for themselves and for everybody, instead of operating in this dog-eat-dog world that I've got to get mine unless you get yours first? I've got to be out there and I've got to be working for what is in my best interest, and you're out there working in your best interest. What if they came into the church and they realized that it was about what was mutually beneficial for everybody? That's what holiness is. Holiness is not something that is just good for the preacher. Holiness is good for everybody in the church. Holiness is great for the church. This last week I was preaching on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Reformation Day was October the 31st, 1517. And it was during that time that Martin Luther came to realize the just shall live by faith. And one of the things that I found in the research that Martin Luther said was that repentance was of great, great benefit, that pursuing a righteous life was of greater consequence and greater joy and greater benefit than any lowering of the standard that was going on, people trying to buy their way into heaven and treat people trying to substitute anything other than what God said. And so Martin Luther said, man, righteousness is a tremendous, tremendous lifestyle. And so I pray today that you and I will constantly be looking out for what is in the best interest of everybody. Be patient. Do not be the source of vengeance. Do not repay evil for evil to anybody, but always pursue what is best for you and for everyone else around you. And you know what that begins with? That begins with Jesus Christ being your Lord, my Lord, and everyone's Lord. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.